evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship. As you know, today is my last day of vacation. The kids drove back home toward Colorado and also flying out tonight back to Connecticut. It's been a great week, and I thank you for your prayers. I received, hopefully you've heard, good news at my recent CT scan, and so I don't have chemo for another 4 weeks. I'm still on a chemo vacation. They can't quite understand why these things are happening, but we know that it's the hand of Almighty God and the prayers of His people. Sole Deo Gloria. So I wanted to share that good news with you. Our dear sister Laura Colden has some heart issues. She's at St. Mary's Hospital. She sends greetings to you. I just saw her. Those of you who know Laura, she's 89, and every morning she reads Psalm 19. And every night she reads Psalm 148. And so I shared Psalm 148 with her now and had prayer with her daughter Sharon, and her son Tom. So please keep Laura Colden in your prayers, because I know she's keeping all of us in her prayers as well. Also, if you haven't heard the news, Pastor Dan Berkland of Oasis Church, who fought several different types of cancer and was a walking miracle as well. And he was covered with lots of prayers. He went home to be with his Lord on this past Thursday. So a lot of us are grieving, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We have the hope of Jesus and the promise of resurrection unto eternal life. And so please keep his wife Bridget, daughter Zoe, eternal life, huh? And son Ezra in your prayers, along with all the family and the Oasis Church as well, because it's a time of loss, a time of grieving for them, and we need to cover them with our love and with our prayers, okay? I'm so grateful that Pastor Voldemar, a member of Emmanuel Lutheran, but also a very dear friend, is filling in and taking care of things tonight, and so I'm gonna turn the service over to him. But don't forget, tomorrow, church picnic, a week from tomorrow, Vacation Bible School, lots of announcements in your bulletin, so please take note of those. God be with you all.
One particular reminder, you'll want to make sure that you've reserved with Don your presence at the picnic, which is going to be on the 1st of August, tomorrow. So please make sure that you've communicated with him. In our prayers, we're going to be remembering Dan and his family. We'll remember an acquaintance of mine, Robert Ford, who's now in a care center dying of cancer, and we'll also include Laura Colden. I'll also leave space for you to say, either out loud or silently, any particular name. But it takes a lot of courage for many of us, even for Germans, but especially for Scandinavians, to say things out loud in the middle of prayer. Please rise as you are able and join in our opening hymn, hymn number 469, Lord of All Hopefulness.
At the noon of the day, Lord,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was God. And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen the glory, full of grace and truth.
We sing Word of God. Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Heavenly Father, you satisfy hungry hearts and fill them with good things, the bread of heaven. Sustain and nurture us in faith and love by the living bread that is Christ himself, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that he had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion of bread every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the and morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? For grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat, the word of the Lord.'"
Thanks be to God.
We will now read Psalm 145. Please read responsively. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And all your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power.
to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desire of those who fear him.
He also hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord preserves all who love him.
But all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying, he ascended, but what does it mean, and that he has also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which is equipped, when each part is working properly, make the body grow so that it will build itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise as you're able as we sing the gospel acclamation. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So, when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You'll note that there's a children's message posted on Facebook, which Pastor Dave has done. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in the Spirit's consolations through Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
Don, could I ask you to get me a glass of water? I took my antihistamines just before I came over here, and they're drying me out, which they're supposed to, but not this way. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I remember some of those silly days when Steve Martin was doing his comedy routines, and he had that Walk Like an Egyptian song, that video. I didn't like it all that much, but it amused me. What struck me even more was when I was an early teen, hearing the Four Seasons sing Walk Like a Man with that high falsetto. Today we hear St. Paul say something far more serious as he says, walk like Christ, walk like a Christian. And he says this both in the gospel and as St. Paul speaks for him. Thank you, Don. You heard Pastor Dave remark that Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 are about our identity, and Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 are about our action, our life. Because identity and action are connected. I like that phrase some 22 years ago from the Millennial Show on television, that series, "This is who we are, this is what we do." They're bound together inextricably, and Paul says exactly that. You are not the same. We are not part of the world. We are in it, like Jesus says, but not of it. We walk differently. We are strangers and sojourners because heaven is our home, even though we so often forget that. Paul speaks of that as he writes, "I urge," and he starts out the Greek with that, "I urge," and then comes a therefore, "I urge, I being a prisoner, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling." Walk. And that means action, how we live. This is halakha. The rabbis would say this is a call to life. And it's not something alien as if we should think one thing and do another, but it should be, and the rabbis and Jesus talk about the heart. And by that, they're talking about where I make my decisions, my morality, my ethics. I am called to choose and live in a way worthy of the calling to which God has called us, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Alien things, stuff that does not come natural to me. How many of you are happy to be patient? We'd rather not suffer fools kindly. My brother says that's one of his virtues. I'm not sure Jesus would say that. And Paul continues speaking of unity. Unity of the spirit in the bond of shalom, of peace. We are called to walk the walk on the path of our lives, to walk lives following Christ on the path. I think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or the evil, the Hebrew says, nor stands in the path of sinners. And I'm not talking about people who are sinners like I am. The writer is talking about gross and flagrant sinners, or who sits in the seat of the scornful. But instead, the way of the righteous is different, because there is a unity of one body, one spirit, one hope, who is Jesus, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And we're called to live within the gifts of Christ, the measure of Christ's gift to us. Then comes that difficult verse from Psalm 68, verse 18. It's a difficult one because the Hebrew is usually translated, when he ascended on high, he led, and it can be interpreted either a group of captives captive, or he took captivity captive, and he took gifts from men. That's so often the way the Hebrew is mistranslated, I think, and a group of scholars agree. But what it says is he took gifts for men in Hebrew, and the Greek, as it's placed here from the Septuagint, says exactly that. And then the psalm finishes, because so often the rabbis like to quote part of the psalm or part of scripture, and then what follows is the part that everybody knows. Stitch in time saves nine. An apple a day? Yeah, we know those sayings. And a good Jew would know that the rest of that psalm verse goes, that the Lord God may dwell there. That the Lord God may dwell there. The last part of the verse is what I see Jesus through St. Paul saying. And he goes on to talk about that Jesus. He ascended, he descended, and he gave. Now in English, that's sometimes messy, but Jesus gave what? And the answer is five things: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors or shepherds, and that's what Paul calls us, and the teachers. He gave these five groups of people, gave them to the church, to equip the saints, and that's the people to whom Paul's writing. The saints in Ephesus, the saints in Rochester, to equip the saints for ministry, their ministry. Ministry so often is limited to what Pastor Mork or Pastor Dave or Pastor Gies can do. And St. Paul is not talking about us. He's talking about everybody else. The service that we do in serving Christ and Christ's people equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until there's the proper unity, the proper shalom of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood or womanhood. That means we're strong. But I also hear hints about how we can reproduce. And God's church reproduces. We grow so that we may, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, no longer children blown about by the waves and winds of deceit, by human cunning and craftiness. Instead, we're to grow into the head, Christ. Christ who makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There is a growing, and the growing could be numbers, it could be strength of the church. There is a growing, and it is to God's glory. The solo Deo Gloria of last Saturday becomes the solus Christus, the only Christ, as Paul speaks about God's glory through Jesus, flowing out through Jesus' church. But do we want salvation? But do we want Christ, or do we want comfort and ease? Exodus is all about me murmuring. I usually call it whining, even though the Hebrew description isn't quite like that. But that's what drove my parents nuts when my brother and I would whine. And I see that as whining, whining with accusation. We want to go back to Egypt. And when God's glory shows up, God solves the problem for God's people. And it's in kind of a strange fashion. Sometime I'd like to talk with you about manna. But what I will say is, it reminds me of my sister Roberta. When she was little, she would look at something and say, "I don't like it. What is it?" And especially with food. And that is what the Israelites are asking. Manhu in Hebrew is tied into mana. What is it? It's like a bad cafeteria meal with mystery meat. What is it? God's people are not, in this reading, cheerful people. They want their comfort. We'd rather be slaves, rather suffer and not have freedom and still have better meals. And the body of God's people sins and suffers. So also in our gospel, as God's people, the people Jesus is reaching out to, finally get over and they're looky-loos. They're people who want to watch what's going on at accidents. They say, "How did you get here?" Then they ask more questions about me and us. "When did you come here?" And then they ask, "What must we do to be doing the works of God? What signs can we see so we can trust you? After all, Moses gave the manna." And Jesus says, "You're reading your scripture wrong. God gave the manna." And he also says, "God gives me." As he says that, ego me, the I am in the Greek. I am the bread of life. The bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Christ is enough. And that's exactly what Jesus gives to that Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. What he gives to the people in John 6 as we walk through this reading, exactly what he gives to us right now in our readings. The people in front of Jesus don't think it's about Jesus. "It's about me," they're busy saying. And what Jesus says is, "Well, you're involved, but it's about me because you are involved in me. And if you're involved in me, You are part of my life, my mission. You are involved in ministry, as Paul says, in serving, the body growing in depth and in numbers. Ancient Israel and the people of Jesus' day saw God's love, and all they saw was a full belly. The people at the crucifixion saw God's love, and all but a few saw only loss and death. And we gather here glorying in that cross, and the Lord of the cross and the empty tomb, who is in charge of our lives. The Lord who gives us mission and calls us to grow as the body, who says to all of his disciples in Matthew 28, go and make disciples by baptizing, and he describes how, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching obedience to my words, teaching obedience to me. Are we spiritually hungry enough to eat the bread of life? Are we spiritually mature enough to walk the walk of Jesus? Paul tells us that the body is to build itself up in love. And we read in the Psalms that the Lord God may dwell there. And Paul says that Christ may fill all things. Fill all things to life everlasting. And all God's people say, Amen. I invite you to rise as we sing the hymn, One Bread, One Body.
Which we bless.
in Christ. You have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And perhaps after we are done with our worship service, you may want to greet each other safely. I'm getting more and more concerned about the Delta variant of COVID, so please be respectful. I even brought along my mask, and I may be using that in the future, and you may too. Please be seated. There is no passing of offering plates, as you've heard repeatedly, and I do remind you of that basket which is in the back. I ask you to be seated so that as we pray, you can be relaxed and not strain. Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray on behalf of the church, of the cosmos, and of one another. Father, thank you for giving us the bread we need for body and soul, even when we are estranged from you and from one another. Thank you for Jesus, our life, our bread, our source of unity with you and with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Your church is Christ's body. Give it unity with him and unity in him. Let your Holy Spirit fashion your church into the likeness of Jesus, so that when your church speaks and acts, people hear and see their Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for those maintaining food pantries, soup kitchens, and community gardens. Thank you for all who feed the hungry and help them feed themselves. Grant that as bodies are nourished, minds, hearts, and spirits are also fed with the living bread from heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living creature. Open your hand to bestow health and strength and guidance upon all of those whose need is great. We lift up before you Robert Ford And we also remember before you Laura Colton, and we name others either silently or out loud. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good news which we have through Jesus, and thank you for his good news for our Pastor Dave and his family, and for his family here at Emmanuel. Feed all those we've named with your faith, and fill us who need it with the refreshing waters of your grace and salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With reverence and affection, we remember before you all of our loved ones who have died and are at rest in you. Particularly, we lift up with thanks Dan Berkland's life and pray your comfort for Bridget, for Zoe, and for Ezra. And we name others, either silently or out loud. Keep us in union with them through our union with Jesus. Strengthen the bonds of affection with our fellow pilgrims on life's journey, on this path following Jesus. Bring us with all those you've redeemed into the joy and life you share in union with your Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear and graciously answer our prayers, dear Lord, as it is best for us and most glorifies your holy name. And all God's people say, Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please rise. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. And all God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
Our sending hymn is, We Are One in the Spirit. And Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.